Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The greater the goal, the greater the objective, then the easier the path. The need that is the greatest is the need of air. So Allah Ta'ala makes it so easy. You don't buy, you don't have to go and look for it. It comes to you voluntarily, involuntarily it comes to you. The next need that is the greatest is the need of water. That also it comes to you. The heavens, it comes to you. In this earthly life, then it is a probation, it is a trial, and the trial is all about getting to Jannah. So because it's such an important factor in your life, then Allah Ta'ala has made this also easy. And it's just two steps. To Jannah, it's just two steps. أَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَا النَّفْسِ فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَعْوَى. Understand your goal and then stop your nafs. Understand what your goal is and then stop your nafs. So this is how you're going to get to your actual goal. The trial is going to be constant against the nafs. It's not going to be just once off. Like you go to school, you pass a grade once off and it's over. You don't hear of a child passing grade 5 and repeating the year. Passed, passed out, carry on, or move on. But the challenge with the nafs is not a challenge that is going to stop at any point. It's going to continue. Right to the end, right till you're breathing your last, the nafs is going to keep troubling you. The challenge is going to carry on. Mawlana Rum Rahmatullah Alayh explains this concept. He says that a person had a sack and he was filling in some maize. See? So he discovered after some time that the sack is not filling. Big nice big sack, 500 kilos, but that thing is not filling. So he discovered that very discreetly the rats were eating it up. Made a hole and they were eating it up. So now he's advising the person, so what you do first patch the hole and then you fill the maize. Now you'll get it right. But if you just go on filling without patching, you'll be losing all the time. So the same happens with the nafs. You're doing right, but there's no, you're not protecting it. So the nafs is eating from the holes. So it says that if it were that you had been preserving all the deeds, then somehow it should have appeared, you know. Somehow it should have appeared in your behavior, in your ways, in your interaction, everything would have been of a standard. But if there's no standard, that means the rats are eating away. And the rats are eating away, so you don't see any type of progress. Coming up, going down, coming up and going down. So now you have to block the pathways of the rats. So keep eating, and then you have to keep blocking it. Now, this is called blocking those pathways, stopping the nafs. Simple words, stopping the nafs. So the most effective thing in controlling and in finding protection is the adherence to the sunnah, right? But to the adherence to the sunnah is one zahiran, one batina. Zahiran you all understand, but batin it may not be so simple. So we'll need someone to check it out. You got an ailment that is clear, you can sort it out. There's a dirt or something on your face, on your body, it's visible, to clean it is easy. But if something inside, within you, then it comes difficult, then you need some help. And for that help, you don't mind undressing yourself as well. Because that physical self means so much to you, you don't mind undressing yourself, but getting it out of the system. So the nafs also will have some problems that are clear, right? You can clear it up. But they will have some problems that are very discreet. And these things are happening from ages. So I say the most effective thing is the adherence to the Sunnah. Muhaddis Abdul Haq Dahlawi Rahmatullah Alayh, he was amongst the first people to bring Hadith to India. Amongst, not the only. Muhammad Taib, Patni and all these people came before him. But he amongst the first people to bring Hadith to India. But he was told to come away to India and غریبانِ ہند کا خیال کرنا, the poor of India, be considerate towards them. Poor means spiritually poor and deeni poor. So be considerate to these poor people. They have got no deen and there's no spirituality in them. So be considerate towards them. So he expressed his agony and grief and he says, I'm living in Madina Munawara and I see Rasulullah Pak Sassam every day. Right? So Allah Pak blesses some servants in that manner that every day they see Rasulullah Pak Sassam. Right? Call them Sahib al-Huzuri. Say, I'm going to go to India, maybe I lose out. I will not get this. See, now all these things come when there is that control over the nafs. And when that is a control over the nafs, then your batin opens out. When it opens out, then those barriers that were between you and Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they open out. But that is proportionate to your adherence to the Sunnah. And this comes right generally, it comes right to the extent of your adherence to your elder, how much you see, the tow truck is the thing that will tow the car, right? The car that is damaged, etc. And what pulls it? It is the tow truck. But that cable is very significant. Now you think, hey, what is the cable here? And you disregard the cable. So to the strength of the cable, how strong that cable is, then that is the pull. If the cable is not strong, the tow truck is very good. But the cable is not strong, then something happens, it cuts off, it snaps, can't. So that's the ta'alluq with the Shaykh. So it's like a constant ta'alluq. See, the cable snaps for 1 second, what happens? So what type of relationship you need to be able to come, to be able to overcome the hurdles of the nafs? Otherwise, the nafs play games, a lot of games. Maulana Rahmatullah explains this whole thing. He says, we are like a hungry, desperate bird, you know. It's hungry, desperate, it's just looking for its stomach. That bird that is hungry, starving. So what is concern, primary concern? Stomach. The thing doesn't realize that it's a good bird and there are hundreds of traps that are on the ground there. That is going to go for those grain, whatever it's going to go for, and it's going to miss one and the second one is going to be trapped. It's going to miss the second one and the third one is going to be trapped. There's so many traps. So many is discreet, more sophisticated. You're gonna miss out one, you're gonna get caught in the second one. Miss out the second one, you're gonna get caught in the third one. But you're gonna get trapped. So this nafs is such a tricky thing, such a discreet thing, and that thing has to be kept in check all the time. And I say, the strength will be like the strength of the cable. What's the cable like? Is it quite a strong connection? So in the connection it requires two things. One is that the cable must be strong, and it must be connected right. If it's strong but it's not connected right, will it work? If it's connected right but it's not strong, can it work right? So both are required. We do believe that Allah Pak does, but Allah Pak has created procedures, and those procedures have to be followed. How much you follow the procedures, that will determine the pull, that will determine the journey, that will determine the safety. But now, proportionate to how much you are committed. Allah Pak in this world doesn't force anybody. No force. Do it. Though on your side, إِذَا قَدَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُ أَمْرًا أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةِ. You can't have your own choice after Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul have taken a decision. You can't have your own. But now the nafs wants this freedom. So at every level it wants. At some levels, no, I can do nothing. Oh, why? Why? See that nafs how it plays. And then you don't know, something is eating on. Something is latching on and eating. Something is eating, and you're getting depleted. You had so much, you're getting depleted, and you can't see it. That rat eating from the sack, that you could see it. So you have to set a trap and set the cut the thing out. So that was visible. But the trap of the nafs, I say, is invisible. Like the trap is not visible to the bird, the trap of the nafs is not visible to you. That's why that thing is getting caught, and that's why you get caught. Why the trap is not visible. When the trap is not visible, you get caught. Now you don't realize, hey, you know, I'm getting caught here now. I'm getting caught here. Okay. So this trap of the nafs is so important. That we detect that thing, understand it. And that comes, it normally comes with that relationship. When you got that relationship, then you can see the traps. You know exactly, all right, what's a trap like. So we talk of Hazrat Shah Abdul Haq Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh and him moving over to India. In India at that time, now also, a great deal of India is soaked in bidat. Like a whole town revolves around a grave. One English historian here writes, you know, the most strange thing I've seen in India was I saw that the dead ruled the entire country. See the nafs. Now the nafs plays games. You know, but this awliya, man, we'll go there, we'll get blessed. That's how the nafs plays games. So the nafs plays games in mysterious ways. You know, just make some fatiha, he'll get happy, he'll make dua for us, we throw in kalas. So the nafs want a shortcut in anything, everything and anything wants a shortcut. And then the shortcut is how you make it. How you think about it. You want to make a shortcut. And you don't realize that you're complicating the whole thing. So anyway, Hazrat Muhaddith Abdul Haq Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, he's here in India. And as he comes in now, he sees, alright, what are the activities. So he's been sent, Ghareeban Hind ka khyal rakhna. Be considerate to the poor of India. And I said, what is poor? In deen they are poor. So you need to be considerate towards them. So he needs to see those Muslims and what they are involved in. So he sees a lot of graves and some peers and all that. They got their own ways they got. He went up to them and they adamant on their ways. They got women, got drink, abundance of comfort and luxuries. So just join us. All what you need, just join us. You'll get woman, you'll get drink, you'll get luxuries, everything you'll get. Now, what you're talking of is restrain. Hold yourself. And what we're talking of is freedom. Shah Abdul Aziz Sahib Rahmatullah also, it was now he comes later, about 150 years or so later. 400 years. But he has to meet up with the same type of situation. So in his zamana, there is one makeup period. You know, you get the genuine and you get the forged. In everything you get the genuine and the forged. So it is for the person to go and work it out. What is forged and what is genuine. The whole world is there. It's a combination of forged and genuine. Gold, so you're going to have forged counterfeit and you're going to have genuine. So how are you going to make it out? Before you taking out your 50,000, 20,000 to buy that gold, you're going to get it checked up. Otherwise, he just sold you something and you thought it was gold, you lost the money. So here you're losing your iman, you're losing your deen. So you need to go and check the thing. You know, what you're bargaining for. Is it the true bargain? Is it the right bargain? Or is it for the appeasement of my nafs? Or to make that person happy? Is it my akhirat I'm bargaining for? Or to appease myself? Or is it to appease that person? Why am I doing it? So this has to be checked on all the time. Is it the appeasing of the nafs? Or is it appeasing that person? Or so that I can be called, I am from this group. What is it? So if it is for Allah Ta'ala, then it's the whole vision is different. وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّي. So you're going to get the similarities. In this world you're going to get similarities. And as you are progressing in time, there's going to be more complications. In that complication you have to check through. And I say, one of the safest way is holding on to the sunnah, but under the guidance of your senior. Holding on to the sunnah, but under the guidance of your senior. Otherwise, the hadith also will become a pick and choose thing. You'll come across the hadith where Rasulullah or some like something sweet, right? So now this is a sunnah. You got text chocolate there, you got 50 type of chocolate in the house, practicing the sunnah. Everything else is forgotten. This is, see, pick and choose. This is the type of deen that we are talking of. And we want a justification from the hadith. So you need someone to supervise you all the time. But am I practicing the sunnah really? Or am I appeasing my own mind, my own conscience? What am I doing? So Shah Abdul Aziz, sometime also the same thing happens. So in his zamana, there was one person, Naseem, right? Now Naseem used to be a soldier. And the soldier now, it's an army, so the army has to be at a certain spot. Now, then they are given instruction, now you be here, you move on there. There's a danger this side here, you must go there. So now, at that moment, they were settled in Delhi, right? Now he's going for his morning stroll. As he's going for his, Naseem is going for his morning stroll, muscular, strong, young, very good looking. So he's passed some dwelling, and that person from within the dwelling asks, "Ye kaun hai?" It's Naseem. Naseem means a cool breeze. So that person from inside the house says, "Phir gulzar se bach nahi sakte." Then he can't escape the garden. Now that peer's name was Gulzar. Right. So he did such a hypnotism, he mesmerized in such a way that he got caught here. Now he can't leave. He's caught here. It is Gulzar made some type of a tawajjuh, whatever he did, and he caught the person. Anyway, he became his murid. And he became like as though the successor to the whole system. So he came to Shah Abdul Aziz Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. He became so brazen. See, that way of this, he becomes so brazen. He says to Shah Abdul Aziz Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, "What is this? You know, everything, there's a pabandi, everything, there's a break. Don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. So everything, there's a restraint. See, look at our lives. We free, woman, drink, haram, interest, gambling, everything works. All the comfort. Just join us, join the the group and you enjoy everything. You get all the benefits. Eh? You join us and you get all the benefits. You get all the perks. All the perks. So Shah Sahib heard him out first. After hearing him out, then he says, see, Naseem, he's stronger than Naseem now. Naseem, see, what's your age? He's 45, 50, whatever. So I want to know from you, what your own childhood, right? So you were conceived, right? Then, for 2 years approximately, you were milked. And then the third, fourth year, then you were schooled, preschool and all that, right? Then the fifth, sixth year, then you had to go to a more official school. One is an informal school, then a more official school. Then you had to go to advanced grade, you know, like a secondary level, right? Then after that, then you had to go to an army training. So he worked out his whole itinerary. You went for an army training and you have to work yourself in a certain plan. Right? And then now you were posted into a certain rank in the army. Right? Then after that you moved on from that to this group here of Gulzar. You became the successor of Gulzar. And the successor of Gulzar, normally all are required to shave off the forehead. Head, eyebrow, moustache and the beard, right? Now see, you are asking me that I must be free, right? I must be free. But show me from the beginning of your life till now, were you free? When you were just conceived for 9 months, you were imprisoned, right? In the stomach, you are imprisoned. Then as they delivered you, then for 2 years, you are imprisoned again. For the milk, right? Third, fourth year, then some private school, right? Then fifth, sixth year, then an official school, right? Till about 12 or so. And then many, many times, that imprisonment was such, you couldn't have your freedom. The teacher got angry with you sometimes, he shouted you. Teacher got angry with you sometimes, he must have spanked you. This is the fact that yes. Sometimes he must have been angry with you, gave you one, two cuts, right? Right. So you have to remain in that confinement. Then you did your schooling and went to army. In the army also you went totally free. In the army, early in the morning you need to have a bath. Then you need to go for a run for 5 kilometers. Right. So can you show me that in any phase of your life you have total freedom? Then after all this, then you joined this Gulzar and his system, right? Peer, and you joined his system. There too you're not free. Now you have to shave off all this forehead. So is there any point in your life that you can say that you're totally free? So we are also under some type of bonds. And you also binded. We are binded, you are binded. But just the difference between my bonding and your bonding is that my binding, you will see the color of it in time. Just as the ice flows, then you will see a real Gulzar, you will see a garden. And the binding that you have put on is just an illusion. And the moment, فَكَشَفْنَا عَنْكَ غِطَاكَ, the moment that cover is out of your eyes, then you will see what a disaster you were heading for. Right. So all these things were in India. Right. And they are here as well. You cannot say that they are not here. This type of misconception, misconstruing innovations, etc., like they were there, they are here as well. And people bring it out in different ways. Not just one way, they bring it out. So we're talking of Muhaddis Abdul Haq Rahmatullah Ali, and he was told that Garibane Hind ka khyal karna, be considered to the poor. So he's looking out, one person, second person, and he sees all his peers, right? So in this peace also you get ghulu, right? In everything you get extremism. He's not looking whether that peer is adhering to the sunnah or not. You're not worried. So about a peer, so you're appeasing yourself. About a peer, so I'm appeasing myself. Right? Whether he's adhering to the sunnah or not adhering to the sunnah, you're not concerned. Now again in the Sunnah, there are different levels, right? There are some things of the Sunnah that are the maqsood, and some things that are not maqsood. On Friday, the boys, they come to me just before Juma. They come and sit about half an hour. So I make it such, and let them be a little bit free to say what they need to say. Because I'm going to be a little bit hard, then they'll stop, they won't ask anything. And now they need to ask. For them to progress, they need to ask. And they'll ask, they'll see things in perspective. And they won't ask, will they be able to see things in perspective? So, one youngster asked, that why do I see? I see that, that the turban, right, the amama, was a sunnah, and you have to hold to the sunnah. But I see most of the mashayikh are not wearing turbans. Why is it? So I had explained to him, see, there are some sunnats that are zawaid, and some are sunnat-e huda. So the sunnat-e zawaid, right, the sunnat-e huda is something to be followed and held on to, you must hold on to, right? Like for example, you're not getting involved in ghibat, right? The sunnah, you must be holding on to it. See that your mustache is trimmed right, hold on to it. See that you use your time correctly, right? Hold on to it. See that you're not aggressive. لا تدفعوا السيئة بالسيئة. See that you're not aggressive. So these are the sunnahs of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that are huda, that will take you to guidance, right? And there are some things that are extras. They are not supposed to be, they're not goals. So when they're not goals, then you don't have to hold on to it so firmly. Right. Now I said, for example, wearing of the lungi, right? It's difficult to prove that Rasulullah ever wore a trouser. So throughout his life, he wore a lungi. And I say it's difficult to prove. This is one hadith, but it's difficult to prove that he did wear a lungi. But now, that means all the mashayikh are doing wrong, they're not wearing lungis. So, that they classified as sunnat as zawaid. You do it, mashallah, you don't do it, it's not a problem. So now, if there is this classification, you understand, alright, what you need to adhere to, and what is the extra, what you need to hold firmly to, and what is the extra. Otherwise, what happens? The things that is the extra you will hold on to firmly, and the thing that is what you're supposed to be holding on to, you'll be relaxed. But you're supposed to be looking after your eyes. Don't waste your time on the phone, right? You put yourself all there, but no, I'm adhering to the sunnah. See, I'll mix up things. So that's why I say that generally it is like this, that this thing comes right when you're adhering to the Shaykh. Because he's seen the path. When he's seen the path, he knows how the nafs will trip you. Moving straight, it'll trip you somehow. And you don't know, you can't get up now. How he tripped you, you can't get up. So with different people, he'll use different strokes. How to catch this person, how to catch that person. But I need to throw them off the sunnah. But how to throw them off? So he'll use different, employ different ways to drop and slip other different people. It's not one single straight way. No, you're going to look for different ways. You have so many years of experience. He is around before Adam alayhi salam. So he knows all the tricks in the book, right? He's an encyclopedia of misguidance. Encyclopedia. He knows all the tricks that were used in this century, in this place, for that person, for this person. He is what is all set out. So he's going to keep looking for that. So that will require that you hold on. See? That's why Al-Mawr Gangawi sahab rahmatullahi, he holds on to Hadi sahab rahmatullahi. Mainly for the nafs. And it's a lengthy story, but when he says that someone asked about him, his own condition, he says, so for such and such a period, right, that Hadith Sahib Rahmatullah is in Makkah Mukarrama, I'm in India. Lekin koi bhi baat, yahan tak ke maamooli nashist to barkhast bhi, Hadith Sahib Rahmatullah ki idaz ke baghir nahi hui. Every movement of mine was controlled by Hadith Sahib Rahmatullah. His permission, then I would do it. Now, Almam Gangohi Sahib Rahim is such that nearly all the ulama are unanimous that his knowledge in fiqh, etc., was so great, hadith and fiqh. Let's say, for example, all the kitabs on fiqh were all wiped out. He can prepare something that is enough for the rest of time. So you can imagine now what type of understanding he had. What type of understanding of fiqh he had, mastery, that everything was wiped out. He's got the capacity to prepare something. But then he also saw that in matters of nafs, etc., I need someone to be over me. Otherwise, my nafs will trip me just now. It will have the better over me, and before I know it, I'm gone. See this nafs, how discreet this is. So, what he's showing, what Mu'arum is showing here, is when you got that sheikh or something, right, then you got a light. And in that light you can make out, okay, what is right and what is not right. But without that you got no light. Then you're in the dark. So with that connection, and it keeps you in the light. Now see how the light comes in. As Mawlana Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah got one murid, right? We'll come back to the story. Got one murid. So he asked for bayat, so accepted him. So he's asking her after the bayat, lekin tune bang ke mutalik to koi pucha nahi. You know, I take ganja. You didn't ask about that. So it's a villager, so the villagers, they normally speak a little bit freely. I don't say that you are a person of the town now. Act like a villager now. You act yourself, don't act. You heard a story of a villager, you're going to become a villager. No, don't be stupid. Act your normal self. So, when he says this to Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, that you ne bang ke mutalik to pucha hi nahi, you didn't even ask about ganja, dakha, right? So, Mawla says, lekin tu ne bataya nahi, you didn't tell me that you're taking this stuff. So the villager says, Mawla, lekin tujhe puchna chahiye, you must ask. He's talking that village dot. But what Mawla is appreciating, he's open about himself. He's not concealing. His approach is a villager approach. But I ask you, is he concealing anything? Is he hiding anything? Now that means that the moment he took beard, his heart just lightened. When his heart lightened, in that light he could see, but I'm going off. And I need to correct myself. Can you see that? Before that, he was in the dark. So everything seemed to be right. Now his heart lightened. When his heart lightened, now you could see this is nafs, and this is in conformity with nafs. You could see it. But at which point he saw this? He saw this after he had taken bi'at. So the level of sincerity he must have had, he just lightened him. Some student was asking, now, is there so much of commotion, all this thing carrying on? So, what to do? Again, one answer. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu taqullaha wa aminu bi rasulihi. يُؤْتِكُمْ كِفْلَيْنِ مِنْ رَحْمَتِهِ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ نُورًا تَمْشُونَ بِهِ. If you're going to be believing taqwa and adhering to the sunnah, then apart from your rewards being doubled, the additional favor you will be blessed with is you will get a light. وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ نُورًا تَمْشُونَ بِهِ. You'll get a light, and what does the light enable you to do? Now imagine you're in total darkness, absolute darkness. So what does the light do? It enables you to see things in perspective. Otherwise you can't make out a diamond from a stone. You can't make out a porridge from number two. Can you make it out? Can't make it out. So the light enables you to see. Otherwise you're going to be misconstruing, confusing why you don't have that light. Now you need a light at every level. At some level you may have got a light, but at a higher level you don't have that light. You got a level to make out, alright, this is hard. This is shining, you got a level to see that. But you don't have a level to see this is a diamond or this is imitation. You don't have that level. So you will have to refer to someone. For money, we attach importance, don't we? So we found something maybe in the almaris, in the old archives, something shiny, right? You throw it just like that. We'll take it to Randeris, Vaudas, jewelers. Why you attach an importance to it? And I can't make it out, so I'll have to ask them, what is the value of this thing here? I can't make it out. Because it may be worth a fortune, man. This diamond here may be 2 million. I'm going to just throw it like that. I can't do that, man. So you'll think like that. So for material things, you will refer. So is there the need to go and refer about spiritual things? Say, no, I know it, I'm an alim, I can read kitabs. So you can go and look at kitabs and see now, distinguish between counterfeit and real. Will you leave yourself to that? You will refer. So what has happened today is, in the material realm, you become very intelligent, very sharp, right? But in the spiritual realm, we have become totally blind. It's all more rooms worth, right? Spirituality, deen, we've got no sight and vision. And we prefer that. And in the physical, material realm, suddenly we are very, very sharp. Maha says, but this is not the plan. It's far better that in spirituality and deeni things, you've got the vision. And in material things, you don't have that vision, it's not so dangerous. Most is that you may not have one full loaf to eat, but you will still survive. You'll have a quarter loaf. You'll live. But if the spirituality gets damaged, the deen gets damaged, then you can be thrown far away. How important that is. More rooms worth, right? All that I'm saying. Let's see. That spirituality is so important. On the day of Qiyamah, the first persons to be thrown into Jahannam, one is a wealthy, who did a lot of charitable work. One is the person who strived, he gave his life for Allah Ta'ala. And one is the learned, right? But the Jahannam will be started with these three people. I ask you, the Jahannam is being started with these three people because of what? Zahir or Batin? Batin. So they were not concerned about the Batin, so they destroyed their Batin, and then that Batin destroyed them. They destroyed the inner self. The inner self destroyed them. Mal Muflis, who is the person that's insolvent? This is the person that's insolvent, right? Came with mountains of deeds, but shatama haza, qatala haza, sabba haza, akala mala haza. So he robbed this person, he cheated that person, he swore that person. So all his goods are transferred to them. But now you see, to get this right, how important it is to get it right. So in this world, nobody can say that I am totally free of any shackles. At any given time, you are shackled. No person can say that he is free of shackles. But what a blessing it is to be shackled with the Sunnah. Isn't it a blessing? Everybody has got a belt round his neck, right? Everybody's got a belt round his neck. Like how we get a dog, he's got a belt, right? So everybody's got that. So that person is really blessed who's got the belt of Allah Ta'ala, the belt of Nabi Sallam around his neck. Isn't he fortunate? But how do you get entitled, how you become eligible to that belt? We want that, and we think like that, but how do you become eligible to that? So in this day, there's a lot of speculation. Everybody does his own thing. Let me do this, let me try here, let me try that. Thinking that I'll do this, I'll try this, and it'll work out. Almost Tami Sabrahman brings out a very important point. Says, is rah mein, rah ko tabah karne wali cheez. What destroys the path is tashwish, that's the word. I translated the word tashwish as confusion. This destroys the path. Now how does that tashwish comes about? How does it come about? It comes about like this. You read this kitab on tasawuf. You sat by this person here, you heard what he had to say, what he had to say, and now you got one peer and you got one sheikh. Now you're trying to reconcile. He said this, and he said this, and he said this. So now, what must I take or must I leave out? So that creates the tashwish. And he says that, yeh rah ko tabah karne wali cheez hai. Because your mind is not straight now. Your mind is now, this, he said this, but he said that, and that person said this thing here. And so I ask you, are you clear? You're not totally clear. When you're totally clear, you're going to mix up things, then you have become your own sheikh. See how shaitan plays with you. Because you're not listening to your sheikh, you're not listening to that person fully. Some yourself, some what he said, some what he said. It's a really real mix. At least that the deg of Ajmer is taking you somewhere, you know. You've seen that deg, Ajmer deg. The thing is, at least something coming out, you can have a meal at least, right? I don't know if it's halal, haram. That must be fine, must find out. But it will satisfy you for the day. But this thing, you don't know what they added. Someone put poison, someone put medicine inside, someone, what they threw, and you eating that. Now, what's going to happen? Allah knows. Sometimes, one sheikh is saying something for a particular person. So it's going to be good for that person. It's not a general statement. Sometimes it is a particular time he said, do this. Particular person, particular time. So he gave an order for that. Now you generalizing the thing. So you see the confusion you bring on yourself. So he says, Rah ko tabah karne wali cheez. But now then what do you do? So he says that, Maulana Gangohi Rahmatullah says, that if Hadi Sahib were present here, and Junaid Baghdadi Rahmatullah was present, in the same majlis, hum to Hadi Sahib ko dekhenge. Hadi Sahib agar chahe, to Junaid Baghdadi ko dekhe. If Hadi Sahib was here, Junaid Baghdadi Sahib was here, then I would look at Hadi Sahib. Hadi Sahib, he is at that level that he can look at Junaid Baghdadi. But my duty is to look at Hadi Sahib. So I ask you, in this way, is there any tashwish, any confusion? But the way that we are adopting now, I say, is there confusion or not? There's no clarity. The Shaykh also feels, this person doesn't feel clear with me. So I don't have to be committed to him. Right. And that person also says, I'm not committed to the Shaykh, so it's alright now, no commitment. So then, now, who begins to rule your life? It's either the nafs or the shaitan. And the shaitan and the nafs will come, it will come in different forms, in the name of the sunnah. Like I said, you heard one hadith, yuhibbul halwa. That's the main thing, look for halwa. Namaz is gone, everything else is forgotten, ghibat is carrying on. No, but I'm eating, see what that halwa, that hadith I'm practicing the sunnah. So see how the shaitan plays around with you. So Muhaddis Abdul Haq Sahib Rahmatullah sees these people here, and he goes, approaches them, and they reluctant, they bent on their ways. So you must join us. You've got a life of freedom, and you have tied yourself. You've got a life of freedom, woman, haram, halal. We just need to just justify it. Anything we're doing, but we just need to justify it. Look for a plan to justify it, to legalize it. So that's our plan. We look for justifying, legalizing. On the one hand, we are holding on, right? Because we know the reward of istiqamat, right? Being firm, straight. We know the reward of it. The malaika will support you in this life, at the time of death, in the qabr. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. They're holding on, right? So they know the rewards. But then what istiqamat requires? You want that support from the malaika at all phases of your life, but what does istiqamat requires? So there can't be explanation better than the explanation of the Khulafa'i Rashidin. So all the explanation is going on one end, in different words, but they're saying one thing. What they are saying, that you hold on to al-amru wa-nahi, right? You hold on to the do's and the don'ts, right? You hold on to the do's and the don'ts. You hold on. وَلَا تَرُوهُ رَوْغَانَ الثَّعَالِبِ. And don't be like a fox. What the fox does? Sly. This is a bad year here, so let's avoid. Someone put up a fence, let's see how we can maneuver over the fence. The sheep is that side, let's see what you can do. So that is the way of a fox. So you are maneuvering. And when you're going to be maneuvering, then I ask you, will there be any prohibition? You're maneuvering here, making a plan here, making a plan. For everything you're making a plan. Then is there going to be any barrier? Then the whole deen has collapsed. Because of that mentality, maneuver here, make it right here, make it work that side, make it that side, make it work that side. So nothing left of your deen. Because your whole deen now is about maneuvering. Now, the maneuvering thing is taken on so badly, like in some of these Arab countries, they've got a marriage that they call it Mayasir or Maysir or something, they call it, right? So maneuvering, see, make it permissible, make it work. So now, where it's coming from, this Maysir marriage, is coming from Westernism. So what happens initially is, you look at what the West does, so that becomes the Imam, and then you just follow the West, right? You see what the West is doing, and you become a follower, right? For example now, you saw the West, women in the West, they are driving, so our women must drive. You saw women cycling, so you must do cycling. They're wearing t-shirts and tights, so you must wear t-shirts and tights. So who became an Imam? Rasulullah became the Imam. Khulafai Rashidin became the Imam, or the West became the Imam? Who became the Imam? And we'll still justify, they're small now, it's alright, man. How we'll justify? That they're small, so what's wrong? See how our mind will just go offside, you know, it'll go upside down. Mind just goes upside down. So, woman can earn also. So, Hazrat Khadija radiallahu anha also was a businesswoman. So what's wrong? So every possible justification, right or wrong, you will try and work it out and make a plan for yourself. Whether it's right or not right, but you just need to have a cover-up plan. Hazrat Khadija did business, but how? She did business like this. There was an investment here, right? Like how you get investments. She put her money there, and she got the returns from that. So what's wrong in that? Did she go and practice business? There's someone that is doing business, we call it a mudarabat. So she gives him the money and do the business and we'll share the profits. So that's called mudarabat. It's type of a partnership, right? So this is what she did. But the picture that is being created is she was active in business, going around here, there, doing business. But I ask you, is this not defaming the woman? Is it not now distorting the face of the Sunnah? See, when there's no Shaykh, there's no Ruhaniyat, this is what happens. So, then what happens there is we just try to look for a picture that will be justifying our plan. So, the Hadith will be used what? For justifying. We got a plan and we need to justify it. Who's the Imam? The Imam is the West. Whatever they say, we must do it. They say, all women must go out, must go out. They must dress up like this, they must dress up like that. Right. So whatever they say, that becomes the Imam and that will work. And then it goes to such a point that the whole minds become warped. Or in a Western country, you need to steal, you need to rob, you need to cheat, and this is how you go and cheat. Now, there's so many cases that come, you know, professional. The level of professionalism and how cheating carries on. Wife and husband both are doctors, specialists, how to steal. Wife is learning how to steal from the husband, and sometimes the husband is learning how to steal from the wife. If he's in law, how to steal from the client. It's 3-4 million, but how to steal. So all under professionalism, but they'll learn it. Why? Because the Western world is doing it. So they have become our imams. So the respect goes, integrity goes, it's all right. But our plan, we need to see that our plan works. Because Westernism has become our Imam, and money has become our God. So whatever we need to put in place just to get that money, we must do it. See, whatever we do, Yesterday someone came. So how professionally they stole his 4 million. 4 million, he gave it to a lawyer or whatever. But professionally, all the money is gone. One class, how it went, but they had to look for a professional cover, how to steal the thing. The thing must work. Because now they're learning law. When they learn law now, what stroke will be acceptable? So they just have to put a stroke, so I got the client's 4 million. Gone. But see how it works. So this goes when you don't have anybody. So we talk of Hazrat Muhaddis Abdul Haq Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh and this nafs. So there is just two steps into Jannat. Understand your goal. Understand Jannat is your goal. And to get there comfortably, what is required is just stop the nafs in the track. And the nafs can be stopped in the track with this adherence to the sunnah. And the adherence to the sunnah is zahiran and batinan. And the subtleties of the nafs can't be understood. Person will work out the sunnah to suit him, to appease him. See, if the nafs is not broken down totally, if it's totally broken down, this fana, right, then he's annihilated himself for the sunnah. Then he'll see right. Now we spoke about this villager, so he was absolutely truthful in that first stroke and the what. So he says to the Gangu Sahib Rahmatullahi, see. Now he's talking a little bit in a rough language, but he's truthful. So what they appreciate is the truth. Though he's coming out a little bit rough, because that's how they were brought up. So Mu'ayy is thinking, alright, this person, how long is he hooked onto this? 30, 40 years. So if he's going to leave it out in one stroke, it can be dangerous. He's hooked on to this for so many years, and in one stroke he just gave it up. It can be dangerous. So one asked him, how much do you take? So much I take. So I must say, half it then. So as he comes out from the khanqah, you see now when that heart is lightened, يَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ نُورًا وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ نُورًا, when there's light in that nafs, the light comes proportion to the truth. If there's light, then that person sees differently. So as he steps out of the khanqah, he says, جَبْ چھوڑنائی ہے تو یہ کیا کہ آدھا اور پاؤ وغیرہ چھوڑنا ہے کہ تو ایک دم سے چھوڑ دینا چاہیے. But I have to leave this thing here, then I must leave it one shoot, I must give it out. Not half and quarter, I must give it out. Maulana only did this, I could see, Maulana did this just as a consideration to my health. But his plan is I must leave it out completely. So I must follow the actual plan. The actual plan is I must leave it out, I must give it up. So let me drop it out completely. See how that light, what that light does. Now sometimes the simple people, their minds are lightened straight away. So they're coming with that level of truth. What counts is the truth, that honesty, how honest you are. Not in one situation you're applying one thing, another situation you're applying another rule. No, it's not honest, it's dishonesty. Now after 2-3 months, he saw, hey, I accumulated so much of money. Because the drug money was costing about 500 rand a day. How much? So you can imagine now, in 10 days, 5,000 rand. And in a month, 15,000 rand was going like that. So now he's thinking to himself, now you know what? Now, paise bahut ho gaye, ab to maza karenge. 15,000 rand, in 4 months, 60,000 rand I've got. Now I'll enjoy myself, do this, buy that, go for a holiday, etc. I'll do all these things here. But now see that light, that heart is lightened so much. No. Nafs is self-nafs. I won't allow you to run my life. See what happens here. You either let Allah Ta'ala run your life, or then the nafs takes control. If you're not prepared for Allah Ta'ala to rule your life, then the nafs takes control. So if the shaykh is not there, and you don't want to listen completely, then it's nafs. The nafs is going to control you then. Do this, don't do this, use like this. And you just have to find a justification plan. That's for nothing else. So he said, no, until I don't present this whole thing to Hazrat, I'm not going to do anything. You will ask him now what to do. The Hazrat will tell me perhaps that I must use it. If you got aged parents, use it for them, see to the well-being. Then the second level he says, if you got close relatives, your teams, etc., look after them. Right? And the third he'll say, perhaps if you got brothers, etc., and they're not very well off, then take care of them. Right? So it'll be a tarteeb that he will say, alright, use the money in this manner. I'm going to be assigned to myself and I'll misuse the thing. Allah says, no, man harrama zinatallahi allati akhraja li'ibadihi wat-tayyibati min ar-rizq. So I will use Quran Sharif ayats. Who said that good things are haram? Good food, good clothing, who said it's haram? But do you know the sequence? You understood that good things are not haram, you can be enjoying them. But did you understand the sequence? You can't be beautifying your home very nice and all that. Right, very nice. And then your father is starving. Is that right thing? So no, he's quoting the ayat, man harrama zinatallahi allati akhraja li'ibadi. Beautifying the house, eating good food, all that. But in the meanwhile, your father is starving. Or he's in hospital, he's not getting proper treatment. Can you do that? Now that happens, when that person doesn't assign himself to someone, his own. You'll find one ayat, use it to your own comfort. So anyway, this person is insisting on that. Muhaddis Abdul Haq Sahib rahmatullah alayhi, just listen to me, you know, and you'll be in comfort. No, I'll fix you up. What he says? I'll fix you up. Raste ko band kar dunga. You have got access to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you see him, I'll block you. See what he's saying? So that means in all his bidat, what type of strength he had. he could see all these things here. I'll block your access. So Muhaddis Abdul Haq Sahib Rahman says, see, the way is clear, that is the way of the Sunnah. If I can't see Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then I've got him at heart. I've got him in practice. The maqsood is not to look at him. The maqsood is to follow him. So if I'm following him, I got him. Alright, it's hurtful that I can't see him. Everybody will aspire to see him. That's hurtful. But he will want from us that are we adhering to his sunnah or not. That's what he will want. So I've got that in place, I've got him then. I haven't lost anything. So anyway, now Muhaddis Abdul Haq Sahib Rahmatullah is at home and he sees it is a time for him to see Rasul Pasum, but he can't just get the access. As he's approaching, and this bidati peer he's got a stick or something and he's stopping him. First day now he stopped, can't get access. Second day the same thing happening, it's time to go there, he's on the path, but he can't just make the access because this person is coming on the way and wielding a stick and he's stopping him. The third day he overhears Rasul Basim saying, Muhaddis Abdul Haq Sahib ke din se nahi aaye, kya ho gaya, what happened to him? Hazrat Ali رضی اللہ عنہ replied, ha, ye bidati peer unke raaste ko band kar raha hai. Bidati peer is preventing him. Hazrat Ali رضی اللہ عنہ ran to beat him up. Nikal jao kutte, dog, get out from here. And just then he saw it was like a black dog and nothing ran. And the road opened out and he saw Rasul Allah. So what I'm showing you here is that the adherence to the sunnah and the barakat of the adherence to the sunnah, how important it is, how effective it is, how secure it is. And now you don't have that in life, the nafs can play games with you. You'll use hadith, you'll use Quran Sharif, all the things will be used just to play games with you. And وَهُمْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ يُحْسِنُونَ سُنَّةً. You will think within yourself that you're still doing good. Because you haven't seen the whole path. When you haven't seen the path completely, right? So you'll see from one perspective, and وَفَاتَتْ أَنْكَ الْأَشْيَاءَ. You got one thing, but a lot of things you have lost out. Lots of things you have lost out just because of this. See the importance of the adhering to the Sunnah. I was reading one article just now, asking someone to translate the thing. It's about Dajjal, right? And Al-Mawlana Thami Sahib Rahmatullah, Allah has made him the Mujaddid, right, of this Zamana. In fact, sometimes he says it openly. So, ab to meri kitab ko dekho. Mere se pehle pichlo ki kitab ko dekho. For the time before me, then those people have to look at the kitabs of the past. From me, look at my kitabs. So, he can't be just saying this from his pocket. Ab se meri kitabo ko dekho. Now, look at my kitabs. And that's why you see all his buzugari, the sheikh, everybody, they are referring to his kitabs. So, he says now, what is the escape route from Dajjal? So he says there's about two, three things that I understood. One is the strict adherence to the Sunnah. Come what may, but you're holding on to the Sunnah. Then you're not overwhelmed by any spiritual experience. See, what people want to experience, one khab, one dream, some light, some type of experience I want, and I go by that experience. You know this smartphones and all that. To me, is 100% mini Dajjal. The thing can capture you, and the way it can capture you that you won't even realize it captured you. It's so powerful. I'm seeing what's going on from the type of correspondence I get, etc. I'm seeing what is going on, what it contains, how it devastates, how it damages your brain, your understanding. Everything goes, but you don't even realize that you have been damaged. That's even worse. One is you know that you have been damaged, you've been injured, and I need to seek out for help. Here the person is in denial. Now when he's in denial, can he seek out for help? Can he go out for help? So this importance of understanding the nafs. It says here that those people that after all these things that they show, I ask you, this phone, what is it got? Is it got anything else besides tamasha? Anything else besides tamasha? It's all about tamasha, excitement, entertainment. Now when you get into the entertainment business, then you are exactly the prey of Dajjal. Dajjal will prey on you straight. Because you know that this person is after excitement, entertainment. And I got loads of entertainment. I got loads and loads, tons of entertainment. So when he's become addicted to this, then how easily can he fall into my prey?